Good afternoon, everyone. It really is a... Oh, it's morning. That's right. Sorry. I'm used to actually just getting up by now. But having my coffee. But it's a pleasure. Really, it's a pleasure driving over here. It is beautiful. I mean, it's Cambridge is a little bit more hilly. And then Columbus is kind of flat and boring. But Cambridge is, you know, the farmland. It's a pretty drive. We enjoy coming over here. How is it that we can put a man on the moon before we figured out that it would be a good idea to put wheels on luggage? Why is it that people say they slept like a baby when babies wake up every 2 hours? And if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to see it, do the other trees make fun of it? And on a personal note, why can my boys, when they have cereal, can never finish the box? I get up there sometimes for breakfast and there's like 7 cereals in the box. They can't throw anything away like that. Anyway, today I want to talk about wonder. Keeping the wonder. I remember as a child, my parents and I, we took a trip up upper state New York and we visited Niagara Falls. I don't know if anybody's been there. But I remember as a boy, we were standing out there by the falls, and you hear the roar of the falls cascading over the falls, I guess, yeah, down into the river. But it was an awesome display of power, of might, feeling the mist on your face, and just seeing the glory, really, the glory of God, the glory of nature, exploding, and just so much power. Several years ago, my family and I, we went back, and this time we stood underneath, we went out on that rickety old walk thing, and we went out there and stood underneath the falls. And you could, I mean, it was deafening, the roar of the falls, and we got completely soaked, and we're out there, and because my wife is nervous that we're going to fall over or fall in, and it was slippery, but it was an awesome sight. It was an awesome place to be, the power and the energy. It's an amazing and it's a wonderful experience. If you've ever been someplace that you looked, you saw, you visited, and it just took your breath away, I mean, you were just inspired. Several years ago, again, my family and I, we had a chance to go to Italy for the feast, and we had some friends that were from this small town called Sorrento, and it's off the coast of Naples and that area up there. And we'd gotten a hotel room. And I remember that we went into the hotel room, the nice hotel rooms, and we went out on the balcony, and it just, all of us were just, kind of just stood there. It was breathtakingly beautiful. It was just the colors and the bay, the water. It was like somebody had switched on a high-definition TV, and everything was just vibrant and colorful. And it was inspiring. I mean, you just, to see the nature and the beauty that, you know, that we were looking at. Little children can experience this kind of wonder sometimes on a daily basis. They can be captivated by a caterpillar crawling by. They can be captivated by a flower. They can be captivated by a stick in the yard. But they look at it and they wonder and they're amazed at the beauty of certain things. And some things they can talk about for days. Now, we as adults, we can do the same thing for certain things. I mentioned a couple weeks ago in Columbus, we have in our yard, we have 1, 2, or possibly now 3 albino squirrels. They're completely white, and they have captivated our family. And anytime we see one, my wife puts out, you know, food, our grocery bill's gone up threefold now because she's feeding these squirrels. But we put out food for the squirrels, and we look at them, we take pictures of them. We have 2,000-3,000 pictures on our cameras now of these albino squirrels. And whatever they're doing, you know, they could be sitting up there eating a nut or just laying there or on a rock, and we find it captivating, and it's an interesting thing that we have. And we've named our squirrels Albie, you know, for albino, Albie for short. But again, we're all captivated. I mean, I'll send pictures to her while she's at work and if I'm at home, and it's a little crazy, maybe a little pathetic, but we do enjoy these squirrels. But these things that we see and we experience. They're fun and they're exciting. But as time moves on, and if, you know, if we see Albie every day, it's not the same thrill. It kind of fades away. Oh, there's another Albie squirrel. Our focus may have changed. The beautiful places we have visited in times past, they may be replaced by other beautiful places. Or as time moves on, the memory can fade. You know, we get that, you know, it's something that's exciting or something new. I mean, I like the smell of a new car inside. You know, I like that new car smell. But, you know, that's an exciting. If you get a new car, you walk in and you get that, ooh, that just, yeah, it just feels good. A new car, you know, we get new clothes that we like to wear, things that are new. It's exciting. You know, we take that new car, we park it way, way away from everyone else so we don't get any scratches on it. We take very good, you know, care of our clothes and so forth. Or you might get a new game or something like that. You're excited about it. You're thrilled about it. But, you know, pretty soon, somebody scratches that car. Pretty soon, that new car smell smells more like a McDonald's French fry. It fades. It moves on. Our clothes may get a little tattered. They may get a little torn. The new game may not be as fun. We move on. Have we ever lost our wonder? Have we ever lost sometimes the excitement of this way of life? I hope not. We may not have completely lost the wonder, but I know sometimes myself, the enthusiasm can wane. You know, we can get up, you know, Mr. Hadley was talking about the Sabbath. You know, we get up and we, every week, the seventh day comes around and we keep the Sabbath. You know, the holy days come around, we keep the holy days. And that's good. But sometimes do we forget, like he showed us today, do we forget why the Sabbath? Do we forget why we celebrate the Sabbath, why we keep the holy days? You know, there's a bigger picture. We don't just do it because we're supposed to do it in one sense. We are supposed to do it, but there should be deeper reasons why we keep the Sabbath and why we keep the holy days and so forth. And it's sometimes something we need to recapture that wonder, to recapture that first love, that first zest, that first zeal. You know, I know, being a Christian, we're in a race. We know that. The Apostle Paul talks about that. And it's a long race. And as Mr. Hadley said today, some of us have been in that race a long, long time. And we've been in that gun lap. You know, that gun lap, you know, like the guy has one more lap to go. And sometimes that's one long gun lap we've been on. And it seems like, man, it's getting tired, you know. You know, that gun lap, sometimes you're supposed to sprint, and we've been sprinting a long time. And sometimes it can get a little tiring. And sometimes our enthusiasm can wane if we let it. And we need to make sure that the Scriptures, when we read the Bible, we do our Bible study, those Scriptures that once encaptured us, those Scriptures that once thrilled us, that we don't let that enthusiasm wane. That we still let those Scriptures excite us. We still let this way of life motivate us. We still need to be in wonder of our great God. You know, I typed in on Google or Bing. Google's an Al Gore thing. That's a personal thing. I typed in Bing. Some of the wonders of the world, and they came up the Taj Mahal, the Great Wall of China, the Grand Canyon, Machu Picchu, the Amazon rainforest, the old city of Jerusalem, the pyramids of Egypt, Mount Everest. That's the teacher was in there. The Forbidden City, the Great Barrier Reef, Niagara Falls, the Iguazu Falls, and Victoria Falls. And these are some of the wonders of the world, according to Bing. When people visit these places, they're awed, they're inspired, they are excited about the incredible beauty that they are looking at. And these are physical or natural creations visible for us to see. How much more in wonder should we be about the things of God and the things of our way or this way of life that we've been privileged to be a part of? Please turn with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now verses 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Peter is urging the early followers of Christ that if we are not growing in these things, we are becoming spiritually blind. And if we forget them, and we can forget the marvel of being cleansed by Jesus Christ, we can forget the wonder of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now let's read verse 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are growing in these areas, not forgetting what has been done for us, we can have a wonderful and bright future. It's easy to take for granted what we know. It can be easy to become complacent. We can forget that new car smell. We can forget the awe of the Niagara Falls. But we need to remember what God has done for us. And we need to continue to be excited. Let's look at how we can do this. This will be my first point. Please turn with me to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, this is from David. David writes, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Here is David singing praises. A song to God. David is singing about the wonders of God. He is singing about the greatness of God. These are verses that today we can read, we can study, and we should not forget. They help us to remember the greatness and the wonders of God. Let's read on in Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O God, with my whole heart. I will tell you of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David was excited about God. David wanted to tell everyone about his God and the works of God. Let's go on to Psalm 18 now. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Here again, David is praising God for his strength and his protection. He is in awe of God. Let's go down to verse 30, please. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Here again, David says, God is perfect. He is a rock. He is his strength. David is inspired, continually inspired, by the works that he sees that God is doing. In Psalm 19:1 now. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. God is creator of all. David knew this, and David meditated on this. Now let's go, please turn to chapter 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Sometimes we can get caught up in our everyday lives. And we can forget, or at least we did not think about as much as we should, about the glory of God, as David did. You know, sometimes you can read the whole story of David and you can see he had a few problems. But you also know that God says that this man is a man after my own heart. And you can read these Psalms, you can read these scriptures, and you can see that David thought about, he meditated on the glory of God. You know, whether he was a shepherd boy out there underneath the stars looking up and seeing God, or thinking about God, or as he was a king, and he thought about his enemies that were after him and how God consistently brought him out of danger. But he thought about, and he honored, and he knew the wonder of God. Every day under those stars was like being in Niagara Falls or having that new car smell for David. He was excited about his relationship with God. He understood the power and the glory of God. Let's go to Psalm 66, please. Psalm 66, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works, to the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doings towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. He rules by his... He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Here's another example of singing praises about God. This psalm was not written by David, but was probably influenced by David. Now let's go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot. He walks on the wings of the wind, who makes the angels his spirits. He ministers a flame of fire. Who laid the foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Down to verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out into his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. And then in verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is really a great psalm. You read it all the way through. And we should be reading these, meditating on these, as David did. We should be fired up when we read these things. This is our great God. The same God of David is our God today. We serve an awesome God. We serve the Creator of all things. We serve the one who rules the whole universe. He brings up the sun and the moon. He takes care of the stars. He takes care of the animals. We serve an awesome and an inspiring God. So, point number one is we need to meditate on the glories of God. Point number two, we need to remember what God has done for us. Don't worry, there's 85 points. We'll get through them. No, there's not. There's only three. We need to remember what God has done for us. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. We all know that we were once dead. We were spiritually dead. We had sinned. our life was nothing, really, you think about it, before we became a part of this way of life. And we were made alive again through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we think about what God the Father, Jesus Christ, did, that Jesus Christ came down, He emptied Himself, He came to this earth to live as a human being. And it's amazing what they've done. If you would please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, with which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. Jesus Christ died, was murdered for our sins. We are made new. We are made alive through His resurrection. In John 3:16, we all know, very familiar, especially if you go to football games like Mr. Hadley does on the Sabbath. No, I'm just teasing. He doesn't. He said He doesn't do that. But anyway, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are things that we need, and I know we know these things, but we need to keep bringing them up. We need to keep remembering them, keep going over them. You know, I'm in sales. And, I know how to do certain, I know how to sell. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But, we have meetings. We have sales meetings. Sometimes we just need that practice. We need to practice this and practice that to keep it familiar, keep it fresh in our minds. And that's just the way of life. We need to keep practicing. We need to keep going back and remembering these scriptures, remembering these things that brought us into this way of life in the first place. We have a Savior who became human. He lived a perfect life. Most of us can't even imagine that. Living a perfect, some of us think we live a perfect life, but we don't. But He lived a perfect life, and then He died for us. And our sins have been forgiven. Our imperfect life has been forgiven because of His perfect life. Now that's a little bit more exciting than visiting the Taj Mahal, don't you think? Point number 3 is looking ahead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, or in 1 Corinthians right now. Let's go down to verse 51. This has always been one of my favorite parts of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death will be swallowed up in victory. That will be awesome, won't it? We have a tremendous future in front of us. And I know, again, like I said earlier, we get caught up in the mundane. We can get caught up in going to church every week and just showing up, how you doing, say hello, go back home to our regular lives. And we forget sometimes why we're here. We forget, like Mr. Armstrong used to say, we need to read the back of the book. Because you know what? We win. And that's exciting. I like to win. And it's nice to know the word is something that we are going to win. We kind of forget, or we can forget, I don't know if it, but we can forget that God, Jesus Christ, has a plan for each one of us in here. He has a plan for the whole church and the whole group. But He also has a plan for each person in here. There's a reason why you're sitting in here today. We need to think about that. Let's read 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can it be more exciting than that? Jesus Christ is going to come back. A lot of people believe that. We know it. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Whether we're dead at that time, or whether we're waiting and seeing and looking at him come down, we're going to rise up. We're going to meet him, and we're going to be with him for 2 weeks, 6 months, forever. When we think about that, forever is a long time. I'm a Cub fan. Forever is a long time. Now let's go to Revelation. Let's look at the end of the story. Let's look at our future. Let's look at the reasons not to get complacent. We can, and we should, still be excited. We should be awed by what lies ahead. Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Doesn't that give you thrills, chills? It should. Isn't that better than a new car smell? It is. At least I think it is. And I love verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There should be no more pain. From former things that passed away. How many of us can't wait for that? I cannot wait for that day. I just cannot wait for that day. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful future for each one of us. We have every reason to be inspired and in awe. Nothing compares to this. Now let's read down to verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Now, I've heard that's 144 miles. I could be wrong on that. But you think about that, a city, 144 miles high, 144 miles long, 144 miles in every direction. That's one huge city. That's an amazing city. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. This is one magnificent city. This is our future city. A little better than Disney World, don't you think? An awesome city. Now let's read on to chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is the city where God the Father will come down and dwell and reign forever. We will be there with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We do not know all the details of this glorious future, but we know it will be better than everything, anything that we can ever imagine, that we can ever think of. So let's meditate. Let's meditate on the glory of God. Let's be thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And let's think about and visualize the glorious future that God has in store for us. So next time we're standing in front of Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls, or the Great Pyramids, be inspired, be in awe, but know the best is yet to come.